DC DC Marvel Baby Yes Justice League Valiant Dark One What Comic Book Chronicles Has dopest trace chronic yo I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black No or not, this is motherfucking comic book art, the man Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, what, we don't give a, as long as them pages are hot, and it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison, just
And welcome to another exciting episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I'm joined tonight by my sound man, Agent underscore 70 on Twitter.
What's up, what's up?
Dirt, a.k.a. Stud Muffin or Stud Monkey, whatever he called himself last week, is having dinner with the family, so if he makes it home in time, he will let me know and I will add him to the show. And classic is classic material is still lost in the Bermuda Triangle. But we hear that he does have a new PC now, so hopefully he's either watching us at home or he'll be joining us in the near future. We miss you, man.
We miss you. Classic material.
Check out cultsofthepodcast.com. And Dirt's website is popculturenetwork.com. And, of course, our website is theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, the Click Nation podcasts, and much more. Follow us on Twitter at theclicknation. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google Plus. Just search for theclicknation. And also join the Click Nation community on Google Plus. Just search for the Click Nation community. YouTube.com/TheClickNation is the YouTube channel. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Again, search for the Click Nation. Shout outs to ComicRelated.com, who also houses our Comic Book Chronicles podcast. And you can find many more comic related podcasts. Just go to ComicRelated.com. And last but not least, if you ever had some feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that on over to our email address, theclicknation@gmail.com. And with all that out the way, we're going to jump into the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicle news. And thank you. And first up, I guess this sort of – I know this was earlier in the week. Might have been Monday or Tuesday. The internet kind of blew up with news that Warner Brothers and CW were going to spin off a Flash TV series from Arrow.
Right on.
And, of course, Arrow will be starting its second season this fall. And they're going to debut Barry Allen in episodes 8 and 9. And then he's going to reappear again in episode 20, which will be the soft
launch.
Soft launch or hard launch. I forget which term they used for it. But yeah. So.
Or soft opening, something like that?
Yeah. I guess they'll introduce his some of his supporting characters along with him.
That sounds cool. That sounds cool. I saw some. I don't know if they were memes or if they were articles talking about what they will choose to make his costume out of. You know, hoping that it's not like a leftover couch, like the old Red Velvet Flash costume from what was the late '80s, early '90s.
Right.
So, you know, hopefully they'll come up with something. I don't know if they're going to do armor, because, you know, armor is the cool thing to do nowadays in the new 52.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. Tim, did you get a chance to watch the Flashpoint Paradox yet?
No, my copy arrives tomorrow.
I
had to wait for the Blu-ray.
A legit copy.
Yep. I've looked at all the, like, 2-minute videos that all the different websites have released of all the different fights and whatnot, and it looks pretty awesome.
It's a pretty good watch. You know, my reservations have already been stated. I'm not so keen on the anime look, but it seems like DC's going to own that, you know, that particular style of animation now, and that particular style of, you know, rendering and representation of their characters. So, hey, why not?
I will say, when I looked at the last video they released was a fight between Aquaman and Wonder Woman. Some people say Aquaman, yeah, he's definitely got he got a brick for a face or something.
Definitely, definitely. It's so very anime inspired. Like, it almost looks like it's it looks like promo art for like the Street Fighter video games. If you've ever seen like the promo art, like the booklet art in the PS3 or the Xbox 360 game, that's what that looks like. So.
But as far as I like the anime style animation. It looks pretty cool.
Definitely, I think it's even a step up. You can argue this point back and forth. I think the animation, not just the cells or the pictures, the animation itself is a step up from, you know, the Justice League, you know, Unlimited, you know, Warner Brothers stuff that's been on TV. So.
Oh, okay. And if you have, if you're watching live and you've already watched Flashpoint Paradox, let us know. You can send a tweet to my Twitter handle here that you see on the screen. That's at TimDogg98.
Or you can send it to me at agent_70.
Yep, and we'll read them live on the show. So that's the Flashpoint Paradox in your local stores or digital marketplace now. So yeah, we already talked about the Flash series, Flashpoint Paradox. So Trask Industries website went live with video and images of Sentinels and history of Bolivar Trask.
Bolivar. It's just Bolivar.
Bolivar? Yeah. So let me get rid of that extra.
Because it makes it sound like he's from Bolivia and he's going to disappear into fade into Bolivian, like Mike Tyson used to say.
That's what I'm trying to put him to.
So yeah, Bolivar Trask.
And then today, there was a picture of Bryan Singer posing with a Sentinel.
Yeah, just saw that.
We kind of mocked that online earlier.
Was he like knee high to the Sentinel?
Yeah, and then it looked like the Sentinel was wearing like white sneakers.
And someone tweeted, was it you, Tim, that tweeted that it looks like he's got an air conditioner vent in his chest, the Sentinel?
Yeah, looks like the car AC vent is like mounted in his chest.
It does look like that. I agree.
So what do you think of it?
It definitely looks like a more modern version of Sentinel. It's streamlined. It's not nearly as blocky as the originals. You know, they definitely want to go with kind of a Terminator type look to it.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. I would have to see a closer look at the face. I don't remember looking at the face too much, because more or less the Sentinels. The look is defined by what the face looks like, because the bodies are, you know, I don't want to say that they're interchangeable, but, you know, because they're sort of like a, you know, depending on which model, which mark it is, the bodies are standard, but, you know, the face, usually doesn't change from Sentinel to Sentinel. They usually have like a pretty steady steady look. So I gotta take a closer look at that.
Okay. So I've gone on record a time or two saying how not too excited about Days of Future Past. Again, all these pictures and images. The website and whatnot is cool. I believe it's trash-industries.com.
All right, I'm gonna
trash-industries.com is the website you can go to, and it has all the video and the images and the history of Bolivar Task. So check that out. But yeah, I don't know. I think if anything, the Sentinel action will be cool. Watching X-Men fight Sentinels should be cool, and they'll probably be like building size Sentinels and the lower, smaller sized ones, sort of, and then some fight human size. But yeah, it's just too many characters and trying to mesh all these the different timelines. I don't have high hopes.
Did you watch The Wolverine yet?
Yes, I watched that last week.
What'd you think? I watched it, so we can actually do a quick review.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was average. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like awesome. So it was just there.
It's funny. My feelings on it pretty much mirrored a lot of the reviews that I read afterwards. Is that the movie was okay through the first two thirds of the movie, and then the final last third of the movie was just ridiculous. And I totally got lost and, you know, didn't understand what was going on and couldn't understand why anything was happening. And there's all sorts of shenanigans going on with the adamantium and what it's supposed to be, how strong it's supposed to be. So.
I guess I've never really cared about Wolverine. Japanese, adventures, so that's the reason I wasn't really hyped about it going into it, especially like commercials didn't instill a lot of excitement in me.
Well,
no great action sequences. I mean, the stuff with the flying on top of the bullet train was kind of cool, but
yeah,
we've seen that before.
What I was going to say is, if you were a fan of the miniseries that they adapt this from, the Claremont and Frank Miller miniseries that they adapt this from. I think you would have not been hyped for this. You would have been just like me, a little bit apprehensive to see how they would adapt it. And, you know, they definitely took bits and pieces of that limited series and, they made it their own, but it was just a very disappointing adaptation to me, in terms of what they could have done. You know, with the characters and the motivations and, you know, it's a much deeper, I hate to say this, you know, it was a much deeper miniseries. The story that it told was a lot deeper than what, you know, they made it out to be in the movie. So it was kind of disappointing.
Yeah, because comics, you have however many comics you want to tell the story. In movie, you got a little over 2 hours to get to compress the whole story and get it done.
Yeah, I mean, you know what it is that they can't really go into that much of the X-Men backstory because there's so much stuff that sort of relates to where the X-Men series was when that limited series took place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they obviously have to cut out a lot of that stuff to make it more, you know, make it more timely with what's going on in the X-Men universe. I was kind of spoilers on. Jean Grey was kind of bothering me in this.
That didn't really bother me. I guess I didn't pay much attention to it, so it didn't bother me.
I was like, why is she there? What is she doing? You know, she's in his head. Oh, God, it's so bad.
Oh, and also more spoilers.
Spoilers.
The best part of the movie was the during credit scene because it wasn't really after the credits.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got appearances by Magneto and Professor Xavier from the first X-Men movies, not First Class Magneto and Charles.
We'll call them present day or near future.
Yes. So, and it's funny, like during the movie, during that scene, it was kind of a long after credit scene.
Yeah, it was.
Credit scene, but they turned the freaking lights on during in the theater.
Oh, boo.
So it's like, with the light, like, you can barely see the screen. But then they turned it back off. But, I mean, like, we missed a good portion of it.
Are you serious? Oh, that's...
I saw everything on the screen, but, you know, you could barely... It was real bright, and then you couldn't hear what was really being said, so I missed some dialogue.
That deserves a gong and a letter to the theater management. They should know which movies to not raise the lights on right away, you know?
It's like it's a new theater, so...
The projectionist should know, you know, that there's something to be... there's something that people are going to wait for. You know, that's pretty... that's a bad job. That's the bottom line. It's a bad job by the theater and the projectionist.
Yeah, they screwed up before, but I have gotten free stuff from them because of it, so there's that.
I hope you got that. I hope you get something free because of that.
Yes. Well, we didn't ask, so.
Oh.
I mean, it was just the after.
Just the empty. Yeah. But still. Anyway. So
it would have been nice.
So what would you give it out of 4 stars?
Out of 4.
Standard.
2.
I give it like 2.5, and then like the last third is like 0 stars.
Well, I'm skipping the half, so I would have said 2.5 too, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, 4 stars. You know, like old school Siskel and Ebert, you know. So.
Yeah.
Well, they were thumbs up and thumbs down. So, but, you know, most of the old school movie theater rankings are like 4 stars, and you know, like half stars. So.
Right.
So, yeah, 2.5 stars from me, 2 stars or 2.5 stars from Tim. So it's not exactly a ringing endorsement from the Comic Chronicles to go see The Wolverine.
So if you happen to not see it before Days of Future Past comes out, I'd say you're not missing entirely too much.
No, I don't think so. I don't think you need to see this to watch Days of Future Past at all. I think this movie is definitely for the person who read the Wolverine limited series and wants to see some of that translated onto the screen, but I'm sure that person's going to be disappointed just like me.
Next stuff on news. Okay, so I got this from, I won't say who it was on Twitter, so I'll let them remain nameless, but they know who they are, provided me this info. So he lives in New York, and he has a friend that's, works on a movie set. And so, of course, this is spoilers for a future movie. He was saying that that Green Goblin and Hobgoblin will make appearances in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Whoa! Big spoilers.
Yeah, he said they... Hold on, let me pull up the message.
Big spoilers. You heard it right here first on the conference.
Yeah, he said he has a friend that works on set of Spider-Man 2. He told me that Green Goblin and Hobgoblin will also be villains in the movie.
Wow.
He says how much they are in the film, I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be Electro, so I guess they are background players.
Yeah.
Interesting. They're setting up number 3, the next movie.
So, there had been rumors that Green Goblin or Norman Osborn, whoever, was going to be in it, but I asked if he knew who was playing them. And the guy, he said his friend wasn't into movies like that, so he didn't know who it was that would be playing them.
Right,
that'll be interesting to look out for.
Right. I mean, they're actively shooting in and around Manhattan, you know, especially on weekends. You know, they're shutting down, like, parts of Midtown all the time. I forget what the code name for the production is, but I picked up on it one Sunday. You know, like, they shut down all of Madison Avenue. You can see the cranes doing all the camera work. In Midtown, so they're definitely still going on. They're still shooting.
Did you? Someone last week passed me a link of someone videotaping the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer during San Diego Comic-Con. It was on Perez Hilton's website. That's what the link to.
Oh, was it? Oh,
yeah. Wow. It was like someone sending the crowd, you know, taping the footage up on the screen.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
It was kind of long, too. It looked all right. It was, you got Electro at the end, and you saw Rhino pre-going Rhino, and Spider-Man, like, swinging around doing stuff, being witty, which we didn't get in the first three movies. I mean, but besides that, I don't really remember too much from it. But it's somewhere up on Perez Hilton's website.
All right. Oh, yeah, if he even slides it up.
That's what I can say. It might be down by now. So.
Yeah, it'll be something to look for. All right, you guys, take a look for it. I'll be sure to look for it.
Oh, and I ain't mentioned this last week. You know, I think I read it last week, or I might have read it. I don't think I read it this week, but Marvel trademark registered gifted on July 16th or something like that.
Yeah, I saw something about that. What is it supposed to mean?
Oh, let me open this link to the Hollywood Reporter. Actually, I read on Bleeding Cool first, but when I did a Google search today, they pulled up this article. But they did cite Bleeding Cool. As soon as the nice Chrome tab finishes spinning.
I've got Bleeding Cool open. Is there an article on this?
Yeah, but it's probably from last week, so it might be buried.
Okay,
so... Let's see. Bleeding Cool blog reports that on July 16th, Marvel registered the phrase registered gifted for multiple uses, including comic books, graphic novels, and printed periodicals in the field of comic book stories and artwork, as well as merchandise, including clothes, toys, and electronic equipment, and unsurprisingly, audio and visual recordings. Phrases or titles that have received the same amount of treatment in recent past have included Avengers Assemble, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Guardians of the Galaxy, and Age of Ultron. But registered gifted isn't an existing title or even necessarily linked to an existing title in the same manner as any of those earlier cases. So what is it? The use of the word gifted brings to mind the X-Men franchise, which features a school for gifted children, remember? But in that case, it should be Fox, which currently holds the movie rights to X-Men characters and concepts that we register in that particular phrase. Perhaps we should turn to the registered part, which suggests authority and points to a potential Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-in. Will that series have a threat that requires the superpower community to register their abilities?
Civil War, yeah.
With the D23 or Disney 23 Expo just 2 weeks away, it's possible that more information may be on the way sooner rather than later. And so there was another, let's see, if I click on the Bleeding Cool article, I think they talked about how it could be Marvel's way of explaining Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in the Avengers 2, since they can't refer to them as mutants. They could say they're gifted. Registered parts a little, you know, not sure about that, but
that's actually a pretty good guess.
So they say could this be something to do with the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series, another TV series, the name of an Inhumans film? It does feel rather X-Men-y though.
It does.
Yeah, so there's that. Something to look forward to.
Yeah, we'll see what that means.
Probably before August is over, maybe we'll find out news about that. Oh, you know what? I wish I had this. It was comic book. Hold on, let me do a Google search.
What are you looking for?
They had an interview with Stephen Wacker from San Diego. I wanted to bring up on the show. Let's see.
On CBR?
Season 1. Hold on. There we go. 6 days ago. Yeah, okay, here it is. So the only reason I'm bringing this up is they talk about doing some Wave 2 Marvel Now titles.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Yeah, on featured characters in Marvel Now Wave 2, we picked every character. So you remember that teaser image that had like Nightcrawler and original Amazing Spider-Man outfit on it.
Sure.
Yeah, so he's referring to this, that picture. We picked every character in there because they are characters to watch in the coming year, just like last year when we were unveiling the Marvel Now Joe Quesada image, and you were seeing characters, the Guardians of the Galaxy, you were seeing the new Spider-Man, you were seeing Nova, and we were promising they would be characters to watch. We're saying the same thing with characters like the Black Widow, the Silver Surfer right now. How this will come to pass, I'm not going to say more. That's for future announcements, but they're all chosen for a reason. They are going to get their moment in the spotlight. Okay, I'm adding brand new characters to the Marvel Universe. Look for the arrival of at least one wholly new character launching their own series as part of our next wave of Marvel Now titles. Again, I can't say more about it at this point, but the long and short of it is, and that character won't be alone. That doesn't really make sense. The usual game plan is we'll have the character emerge in the context of a popular series and have them get their footing and build an audience for them slowly. We're going to try something different with this character. The Marvel catalog rolls deep. I just now notice that part of what he says, we're going to try something different with this character. Does that mean that they're not going to do that same formula of introducing them? Because my guess was going to be that it's going to be Angela that gets to her own series because she's debuted in... She's going to be debuted in Guardians of the Galaxy and probably try to spin her off into her own series. But now...
If they even have... I don't know if they have, like, a framework to introduce her into her own series. I think they're going to have to leave her in Guardians for a little while. I caught some tweets from... you and I caught some tweets from Classic Materia.
Yeah, what is he saying?
He's saying... He's asking, you guys cover the X-Factor movie rumors yet? And which lineup would you want to see? I did not know that there were X-Factor movie rumors. He meant X-Force.
Oh, X-Force.
He meant X-Force.
Yeah, we covered those, I think, 2 weeks ago. But, you know, they're trying to branch out the Marvel, the X-Men franchise besides just the X-Men. So supposedly the guy who's directing some movie that I can't think of is supposedly writing up a whatever you call it for movies.
The script? A script?
Yeah, a script for X-Force. And all they said for now is it's going to be a 5-person team.
Right. And they haven't been very specific about who they're going to include. I think if I recall our conversation, they're probably going to take one member from like every version that there has ever been of X-Force.
Yeah. I say it's going to be like a hodgepodge of Cable, yeah. Deadpool, Warpath, and like Pete Wisdom.
Oh yeah, I guess they wouldn't put Wolverine on it.
Yeah, it wouldn't have Wolverine. But yeah, so you have like Warpath from the old original X-Force. Even though I guess he wasn't. Was he on the original team?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
So you have him, and then he also was in that when they relaunched X-Force pre-Uncanny.
Right.
And then you have Cable from, of course, the original series. Deadpool from the Uncanny series.
Right.
You got to have a female, so not sure who that would be.
Psylocke.
Ooh, that would be a good one. Psylocke for, like, the current. And then, like, the fifth person would be, like, Pete Wisdom, someone who's never been on an X-Force team before.
Yeah, so there you go, Classic. Hope you have some more suggestions.
Yes. And my man Roddy Cat on Twitter says, Angela gets her own book. You heard it here first. Oh, and I'm glad you brought that because actually when I originally read that story, I think later on that night I tweeted that my guess was Angela gets her own book and Marjorie Liu would be the one writing it. The only reason I say Marjorie Liu is because Astonishing X-Men is going to be canceled. So unless they're canceling Astonishing to relaunch it, with, you know, a nice pretty Marvel Now on it, she'll need a book to be doing in Marvel. So, but then someone was saying on another podcast that they heard that Astonishing was getting relaunched in, you know, with the new Marvel Now logo.
Oh,
but that, my guess, my assumption was Amazing X-Men is taking Astonishing's place.
And don't let me get started again on a rant about how many core X-books there are and how many you need to collect just to make sure that you're covering all the main stories. That's just ridiculous.
At Dork Geekus says, yeah, James was on the original team. James is being James Proudstar. Warpath was on the original team and Scott's first Death Squad. And he hopes X-Force fits his Cable's convoluted origins.
That'll be interesting. They might ignore that for like a solo movie.
Yeah. I mean, they'll keep it simple, I assume. Mm-hmm. As simple as you can make it. They probably won't even reference. There won't be any reference to him being at Cyclops' son.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, I mean, it is Fox, so they can actually play in that. They can play in that that sandbox, you know. So I don't see why they wouldn't. They might just let it slip. They might drop a hint.
Yeah.
You know, they may not reveal it. You know, it might be just like a bombshell that they drop at the end of the movie or in a post-credit scene. Just to get you coming back for more. Yeah, sounds good. All right, what else we got in news?
I keep clicking the wrong window. So, I guess I was going to bring this up quickly. We can sort of play a game with this. Shout-outs to @Variant-Dash on Twitter. He kind of gave me this idea earlier this morning. He had tweeted out some of the 2015 movies and geek culture type things he was looking forward to, and he listed Star Wars Battlefront, which is like Star Wars video game with done like through the Battlefront or Battlefield type engine, Avengers Age of Ultron movie, Batman vs Superman movie, and Star Wars Episode 7. I was gonna say that we should rank them in order of what we're most, well, least excited for to most excited
from,
for
from low to high.
Yeah, low to high.
All right. You want to go first?
Since I got it here in front of me, I'll post it so you can read, so you don't try to remember it all. Post in the chat here. So, least would be Star Wars Battlefront because I rarely play video games as it is. Then it gets hard. I'm a Star Wars Episode 7, I think it's going to disappoint me for some reason. So I'm going to put that second. It's from least to most. Batman, Superman, and then Batman vs. Superman, and then Avengers Age of Ultron.
You took my rankings. You basically said the exact same thing I would have said.
Okay.
You know, Avengers 2 definitely has a lot of – it's built up a lot of cachet. And create a lot of expectations. So I think that's why it deservedly ranks number one. I think number two is Superman Batman or Batman Superman because of how they might play off each other and how they might set the story up. And I'm kind of curious to see how they'll do that. And number three is Star Wars because, you know, it's hard to know what to expect from that. So I think finding it in the middle of the pack is right because – you know, if you're a fan, I think you're, just like I was saying before about the Wolverine adaptation, you're probably apprehensive to see where they go next.
Yes.
You know, and the last one, you know, I'm not that much of a PC gamer. It does sound cool that Star Trek, you know, that you get to run around, I guess you'd be a landing party.
Mm-hmm.
Doing like planets, you know, like planet hopping stuff maybe. So that might be cool.
Yeah. I think you said Star Trek, but you meant Star Wars.
Oh, did I say Star Trek?
In the last sentence, but that's fine.
Oh yeah.
Didn't want any mix-up.
Yeah, sorry about that. Star Wars number three, Star Trek video game number four.
Yeah. Okay. So, and of course, you can do your own ranking at home.
That's right. Let us know. Tweet at us. Let us know what you think.
Okay, that's all I had for news. Actually, let me make sure. Yep, that's all I had.
Yeah, let's scroll through Being Cool and see if there's anything we missed. I don't believe so. Nope.
Dork Geek is being funny.
What is Dork Geek saying? Dork Geek is not tweeting at me.
Yes, he just tweets at me.
Ah.
He says, I'm not down with Star Wars as video franchise, as a comic, as movie. If you're down with George Lucas, Sith you too. And he does ask now, have any of us seen the Flashpoint film? Yes.
Oh, George Geekus has not been listening.
He probably just tuned in. But yeah, that was the first, well, the first thing we talked about. Yeah, second thing we talked about in news. But I have not seen it. My copy is in Atlanta in transit to Athens. So it better be waiting for me at work tomorrow, even though I'm not going to be at work. But I will go pick it up sometime before during the weekend so I can watch it.
But you actually go to work to pick it up? Wow.
Yes, I need to see this at least by Saturday.
Wow. All right.
So, you have seen it.
I have seen it. I have seen it through not necessarily quite legal means. And it's definitely worth watching.
Have you seen it, Dork Geekus? Let us know. While I await that answer, we can get on over to this week's comics.
Sounds good.
I'm gonna bring up a comic I forgot to bring up to mention last week, and I actually reviewed it. It's my first read from Monkey Brain Comics. I think it's like an online. Of course, you can go to monkeybraincomics.com. I think that's their website. Let me verify that. Yes, monkeybraincomics.com, and the two hosts of the IGN Assemble comic book podcast, Joey Esposito and Benjamin Bailey, they both are co-writers and creators of this series. And it's basically like a all ages superhero book. And I wrote a review for it, so you can find that on theclicknation.com. But yeah, it was a nice, fun, simple story, you know, something that kids could read. That's what they said they wanted to, you know, get back to making comics that were fun and that everyone could read. So if you're interested, check that out. I will be I'm on their mailing list now, so I should get review copies, and I'll be making sure to read them and try to bring it up on the show.
Sounds good. All righty.
I said something. He said he tuned in late. Don't give him a demerit. Oh, he says he saw it. Aquaman was pretty tough and formidable. And since you didn't hear it earlier, I said I've seen the preview videos online of, and the last one was a fight scene sequence between Aquaman and Wonder Woman, and I was laughing and picking at how oddly shaped Aquaman's head is. I was going to say face, but it's like his entire head.
It's so hard for me to describe. It's so very anime. It's so very anime.
Mm-hmm. But yes, so tune in to next week's show, and I'll definitely be giving my opinion.
In-depth review. Yeah, we can actually talk about it in depth.
Yep. So, let's see. What do we want to start with? I want to at least bring up Boom Studios. They had Three Guns number one of six.
Did you have a chance to read Three Guns number one?
No, because they didn't upload it to their review site for some reason. I'm gonna have to ask my man Dirt for it.
He's
privy to it.
It's kind of weird.
The only thing they had on there, like while we're talking, I'm gonna bring up the site now. But I'm bringing it up because Two Guns. I guess this is the sequel to Boom Studios, Two Guns,
right?
Which is
about to come into theaters as a movie.
Yes,
with Denzel Washington and Mark Wahlberg.
And Mark Wahlberg. So that's pretty big deal. It might actually do pretty well.
Definitely in the late summer. It might be one of those. Underdog type, you know, out of the blue movies that catch people's interest, you know.
I was going to say there's the commercials are starting to, you know, come up on TV now. So it's got to be at least within the next 4 weeks. It's got to be, I assume, coming to theaters. But I will I'll see it. I don't know if I'll see it when it launches. I might try to wait for it to come to our cheaper theater. Haven't decided yet.
You know, it's actually out this weekend. Well, August 2nd.
Oh, that's and look tomorrow. What's on the review site now.
They are you just serious? Were, three yeah, guns now just it's out up? There. That's fine.
Except the freaking...
Did you ever read Two Guns?
No, but I downloaded the trade paperback for it.
Oh, okay.
Do you read it?
Nope.
I had never heard of it before. I didn't even know. I saw the trailer for it, and when I went to some earlier movies this year, I just thought it was like, you know, the buddy cop type film. I didn't even know it was based off.
Isn't it adapt? Yeah, exactly. I did not know it was an adaptation of a comic either. So I'll get around to reading that. I'll get around to reading it. So I guess tune in next week when we have a chance to review Three Guns.
Yes. Weekly. But I want to bring it up.
Sure. Sounds good.
So, Dark Horse, I can bring up. Because, you know, I mentioned Captain... Did I say Captain Ultimate last week?
Maybe.
There's too many Captain type books. Hopefully, the book that I was talking about earlier, and I actually messed it up in my review. I said Captain Universe a couple times. It was Captain Ultimate. But... Captain Ultimate is the Monkey Brains all ages book, and Dark Horse has Captain Midnight number one, which came out, which I read, and it was pretty good. The art was nice. I don't recall off the top of my head the writer or the artist. And actually, I don't even remember the writer. Let me see if I can pull it up while we're talking here.
Captain Midnight was a radio program, and I remember hearing, you know, that particular part of the radio show just replayed, you know, on the radio, and it was just very catchy. So really? That's the, you know, I hate to say it's the only thing I remember. It's not like I ever listened to the radio show. This is like from 1940.
So quick synopsis. Captain Midnight is a hero from the 1940s who's like this. He's sort of like Tony Stark, where he's kind of like a genius, and he sort of builds stuff and has this great mind. He's fighting, disappears in the Bermuda Triangle. People think he's dead. Then he just reappears in modern daytime, and the government wants to find him because, you know, they think he might be a threat and whatnot. And some of his former – the offspring – or relatives of some of his former comrades also are on the lookout for him. And they're actually one of the ladies that is still alive, but I guess she's getting her granddaughter to help her look for him.
So, yeah, something like that. There's like a descendant.
Yes.
So definitely something like that. It's definitely, you know, it's definitely reminiscent of some of the Captain America stories of, you know, of recent vintage, but it's definitely, an interesting take. I agree. The art was, you know, it wasn't hard to look at. You know, it was definitely superhero-y. You know, there's a couple of funny bits. You know, Captain Midnight's not exactly a Boy Scout like Captain America. He definitely is a soldier in this, you know, in the story. He definitely does very soldier-like things. So.
And the writer for Captain Midnight is Joshua Williamson, who I should remember that because he faved some of my tweets talking about it. And the artist is Fernando Dagnino. And my phone is ringing, so.
Is that an emergency?
Yeah, because it might be my parents. You can you can move on to DC.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. While I have to take over. We have tweets from Dork Geekus, who's asked me if I find the Flashpoint movie a bit on the gory side. And now that Tim has stepped away, I can talk about spoilers. Where's the alert? It was on the gory side. It's definitely influenced heavily by whatever animation studio you know, took care of this. It's definitely more of an anime-style movie than anything else. I was actually just responding to a Dork Geekus tweet about...
Yeah, I saw a couple of those.
Flashpoint. So you didn't miss much. You did not miss much at all. You didn't even get to DC yet. So
okay.
See, we have Captain Midnight. number one. That's the big dark horse release this week. So moving on to DC, we have Adventures of Superman number 3's Kitty, Animal Man Annual. Anybody? Bueller?
No.
I guess the first thing that we can get to is the Batman Annual number 2. Did you happen to take a look at that?
No.
I will touch on this very quickly because Tim did not have a chance to read it. Batman Annual number 2 introduces a new Batman villain called the Anchoress. It's kind of a difficult concept to, you know, wrap your head around. It's co-written. Well, the story is by Scott Snyder, the regular Batman writer, and Marguerite Bennett. And Marguerite Bennett, I believe, does the full story. And Wes Craig does the pencils. The pencils are acceptable. They're actually not that bad. The story is about Batman being locked into Arkham Asylum on purpose so that he could test out their defenses and breakout prevention. So, again, this is very much a kind of a cliche storyline, at least to me, it's a cliche storyline now, where, you know, I believe in the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon, Tim, you might be able to remember this, they lock Spidey into the raft to see if he could get out, uh-huh. And this is the same thing.
And this is which book again?
This is the Batman Annual.
Oh, the Batman. So yes, I'm assuming it wasn't drawn by...
Greg Capullo? No.
Who did it?
Wes Craig. Wes Craig. How did it look? It's not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible. It's passable. It's definitely more of the Chris Burnham style. The guy who's doing you know what I'm talking about. The guy who's doing
Batman Inc.
Yeah, it's definitely in that style. It's actually a little bit more like Chris Samney too.
Okay.
You know, so I'm just take a look at it. It's worth the review because I think the story is actually okay. It's just that the villain in this is kind of, you know, it's kind of out there. We have some tweets from Dork Geek is asking if either of us read the BPRD book with art by Gabriel Moon or by Moon and Ba. I did not read that.
I haven't either.
BPRD Vampires number 5 of 5. We have to go back and check that out.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen Dorkikas talk about BPRD. I know he's a fan of it. I just haven't ever actually tried it.
Okay.
I may. I'll see what I can do with it. Did it come out this week?
Yes, number 5 of 5. So now the series is out, so you can actually read it from beginning to end.
Oh, so it ended.
Yep.
Okay,
BPRD Vampires. It's a limited series. 5 of 5. So just to finish up on the Batman Annual, it was okay. It introduces a relatively unique Batman villain.
Mm.
And actually, I think the biggest development here is in the development of Arkham Asylum. And how, I guess, maybe the New 52 is going to treat Arkham Asylum moving forward.
Oh, some changes are coming.
Yeah, maybe not a change, maybe just a change in attitude. There may not be like some may not be any concrete changes right away, but there's definitely it seems to be a change in attitude towards what Arkham Asylum is supposed to be. So if you're a Batman fan, you should definitely read this just to see how they treat the future or the possible future of Arkham Asylum.
Okay.
All right. What do we got next on the DC list?
Batman Inc. number 13.
I did not finish reading this.
I have not read it at all.
However,
that's gonna be a lot of the DC stuff.
There's a big however though.
Started today, so.
Right, but the however is we happen to know how it ends because there's been some talk about it.
So. A couple of websites at least talked about and spoiled what happens at the end, and it's basically Ra's al Ghul.
Wait, ding, 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 spoilers.
Yes.
Okay.
So it involves Ra's al Ghul, I guess, chanting in front of like a Lazarus pit and saying stuff about the Sons of Batman rise, and a bunch of, I'm assuming, Damien clones come out the Lazarus pit.
Or something along those lines. So just to answer Dorkikus' most recent tweet, yes, yes, he basically revealed that Damien's a test tube baby.
And then, didn't future, we already know that?
Right, there's basically future Damien's as test tube babies. There's a whole bunch of them, so we'll see where that goes.
So it's the Batman's, it's the Clone Saga Batman edition.
Oh my goodness, I didn't even think of that. I did not even think of that.
That's and the dangling plot line will be left for someone else to pick up if they feel like it, or ignore, just like everything else that goes on at, went on in Grant Morrison's Batman Incorporated.
Yeah. That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Anything else to say about this?
No. I mean, the only time I read Batman Inc. was, I think, number 8 when Damian died, and number 9, the after issue. And
sure.
I didn't know what was going on. I didn't really care about it, so nothing really to say. I'm glad the series is ending, actually. Let's see, the Batman Year Zero Number One Director's Cut Edition came out.
These are always cool to is look just at like... if you're a wannabe comic book artist and a penciler.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely cool to see what the raw pencils look like.
Okay.
Underneath, you know, underneath all the color and the ink. You know, because this is basically just Capullo's pencils, and you can see from the book the pencils for what issue is this? Batman Year Zero Number One, right?
Right.
The pencils are pretty tight, and when I say tight, they're actually really at least Capullo's pencils, they're really finely rendered. You know, it's pretty well rendered. And the inker doesn't have that, to me, in my opinion, doesn't have that much freedom, you know, to like embellish some of the lines. It's actually pretty, it's pretty much fully rendered pencils. There's not a lot of leeway for an inker to kind of put his own stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, it's nice to see that. It's nice to see kind of the how, what it looks like underneath it all. And it looks like here that there's a script as well, a copy of the script from Scott Snyder in the back of the book. And if you're into writing a comic book,
which I am,
this might be an interesting thing to look at and see how Capullo translates Snyder's script.
Okay. So
for all you creators, exactly, for all you creators out there, take a look at this book. This is a much better, I think this is a much better way of doing a director's cut book than some other books have in the past. It looks like it's been a while, at least from what I remember. There was an Avengers number one director's cut. I think Marvel did a couple of director's cut books back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember any more coming since then. And I think this is a fine idea to show aspiring artists and writers what it takes to put together something like this.
Okay. Next up, a Vertigo title, Collider Number One.
I just wanted to mention it.
I forget who's writing this book. Let me see. I saw a bunch of tweets or a bunch of articles about it. Oh, yeah. I don't know why I clicked these links. They don't ever open anything. So, yeah, I'm not sure who's Ryan Collider, but Newsarama had an article up about it on Wednesday. Let's see, Detective Comics Annual Number 2. Not yet. Flash Annual Number 2. I am reading Flash Annual Number 2 right now. Not currently, but I mean, right before the show, I was reading it. I like the artist on it. It's not Francis Manapul, but it's still pretty good. It is, and just for story purposes, this is the first, it's showing the first meeting between Hal Jordan and Barry Allen, Flash, Green Lantern.
Okay.
I'm on page 8. So
Sammy Bossery? That's Pencils and Inks. Sammy Bossery. Oh, it's very clean. It's a very clean style.
Yeah. I like that. I'm not sure if the name doesn't ring a bell, but I definitely like it. The colors by Stellar Labs are pretty nice on it too.
Yeah, but, I think they're using these annuals to showcase new talent.
Brian Bussolato is still doing the writing duty, so same ongoing Flash writer. So yeah, Flash is kind of picking up steam lately. Got, you know, TV show coming in the near future.
An animated movie that basically stars him.
Yeah. And him possibly getting his own movie and tying into Batman and Superman movies.
Definitely. Definitely. He's on the rise. What do we have next?
Let's see. Dork Geeka says Robbie Rodriguez is the artist. I forget which book he's referring to, though. Was it what book was I struggling with earlier? Collider, maybe?
Maybe.
He'll let me know in a second. Green Lantern. Oh, no, that's volume.
It's a trade.
Red Lanterns, number 22.
Didn't read it,
but I will. It's more Guy Gardner taking control of the Red Lanterns. He killed Atrocitus last issue, if people didn't realize.
He killed Atrocitus?
A lot of people didn't. Yeah, wow. Supposedly. Because he took his Atrocitus ring came off, and I guess, like, supposedly if a Red Lantern loses their ring, they die or something, because it replaces their heart.
Wow.
But, yeah, so got to read that to see what else happens. I skipped Injustice Gods Among Us, number 7. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's a digital comic, maybe?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
That's just the printing of the digital comic.
Yeah. Superboy 22, not reading that. So
didn't read that.
Superman Annual 2.
We'll get to it.
Get that. Oh, and Dork Kika says, yes, Collider. So the artist is Robbie Rodriguez.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tom Strong and the Planet of Peril.
I will check this out because it's like I've seen that Tom Strong name before. And I guess this is a Vertigo title.
Well, yeah, it used to be Wildstorm. It's one of those Alan Moore, a Wildstorm. It's one of the Alan Moore characters.
Oh, okay. So, I did not know that.
I want to say it was the Alan Moore character. Now I'm gonna Google that because I don't say that with the conviction I should. Alan Moore. Yeah.
Trinity of Sin, Pandora number 2.
Anybody? Bueller?
Since it ties into Trinity War, which I'm enjoying, I will give that a read. And Wake number 3 of 10. So I guess Wake is a limited series.
Yeah, I regret not reading this. I will have to read this and see where they're going with this limited series and see if it's worth sticking to. I did read the first 2 issues. I did not get a chance to read this issue yet.
I still haven't read issue 2 yet and still debating if I will. I don't know. I hear some great things. You know, I like Scott Snyder, obviously, and Sean, what's the artist's name? Sean something Murphy.
Right. Sounds right.
The guy that's drawing, I think he's doing Punk Rock Jesus, I keep hearing. Mm-hmm. He's supposedly pretty good, so I want to give it a chance. It's just I'm trying to read up so much other stuff.
Yeah, no, it's overwhelming. We have to be picky about what we review.
Dirk Kika says, yikes, I dropped Superboy after they showed the evil Grunge. Oh, is Grunge showed up in Superboy?
I have no idea. So I couldn't tell you.
So are the only people missing from Gen 13 that haven't made an appearance in a new 52 book? Burnout?
So they show Fairchild. They show, what's the girl's name with the short leather jacket?
Oh, shit, what was her name? Has she appeared in a book?
I don't know. You know their name, dude.
I know Grunge was in Superboy. Oh, yeah, Grunge. I guess I do remember hearing about Grunge being in Superboy a while ago. I didn't pay any attention.
Listeners and viewers, tweet.
Wasn't her name Roxy? The girl with the... Yeah, wasn't it Roxy something?
Oh, you got it, Tom. I think you got it.
See, I collected J. Scott Campbell's Gen 13.
I think I had like the first two or three issues, and that was it.
I picked them up every day after church. Not every day, but every month after church at when we make the Kroger grocery store run. I go to the magazine section, and they had comic books, and, oh, I'll pick this up, and I'll pick that up.
There you go. We all got to get our fix somehow.
And the Wake artist is Sean Gordon Murphy.
Oh, Sean Gordon Murphy.
That's close.
That's still Sean Murphy.
If a Burnout and Roxy have appeared in a New 52 book, let us know. And was Lynch in Team 7 when they relaunched that?
Probably. I didn't read it, but it probably was.
Yeah.
Grunge was a villain. Rainmaker was there, but no Burnout. That's what Dorky has just
said. Rainmaker just appeared in the Movement. I think supposedly that was her first New 52 appearance. I thought Free Fall. Okay.
Roxy, aka Free Fall.
And yeah, Fairchild was in Ravagers, which got canceled. Grifter had a series that got canceled, and then he was in Team 7 that got canceled. The Wildstorm characters aren't faring too well in the New 52.
Bum, bum, bum.
See, if I was a writer, I'd try to pitch something utilizing some of these people that had canceled series and like put them on a team together. Actually, shout outs to Roddy Cat again, because we were sort of tweeting about that before the show. Like the DC version of Mighty Avengers, where it's like the all people of different races, Avengers team. Because he said like let me find a tweet here.
Shout out to Eclectic, where he jokes about was it the Ethnic League of America? I'm not going to steal that. That is an Eclectic Relaxation podcast EDP idea. We cannot steal that.
What's he called it?
The Ethnic League of America.
Ethnic League. I like that.
It's genius. Eclectic, man. I hope you're listening to this.
So.
Oh man. That is copyright Eclectic.
Roddy Cat says, what if Cyborg, Vixen, Black Lightning, Hot Girl, and Mr. Terrific took over a book after Trinity War, Justice League Dark? I said, only if they include Static, then I'm in.
Mm-mm-mm. That's too much.
Okay, so Lynch was in Team 7.
He had to have been. He's one of those central characters to that whole team dynamic, right?
Yeah, at least the original, right? Back in the old days.
In the Image days.
So that's all DC. IDW had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 24, part 3.
That was interesting. Baseball.
That was awesome.
That was interesting.
Fun book. I love this series.
I read that. That was actually, that was pretty out there. That was pretty out there. I don't know if I caught the previous issue to this. Did they go straight from the kidnapping to this?
Well, you know, issue 2 had the turtles trying to find Leo. They ran into Hob.
Oh, okay. I must have missed that. Yeah, I was trying to figure out who the anthropomorphic cat was.
And then they also had the scenes of the foot brainwashing Leo.
Oh, okay. I definitely missed that. So I'm going to have to backtrack and check out issue number 23. Yeah, but this issue, you know, I mean, it wasn't, I didn't miss out on much, because this issue was definitely worth the read.
So yes, good series there. You still got time to catch up. Just go back 2 issues where City Fall starts. I think issue is 24.
22.
Yeah. That math works.
Sounds good. Yeah.
And that's all the IDW I had to mention, I think.
Yeah. Still looking for the Activity. I've not seen it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not out.
Activity?
Yeah, the Activity has not been solicited, I don't think, so I'm going to have to be on
the... Is that an IDW book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I want to say the Sam Keith thing. Oh, yeah, Worlds of Sam Keith Volume 1 hardcover came out today.
Hmm. So they're reprinting some stuff. Okay.
I gave that a download, actually. Let me quickly open it here and see what I see in it. See if it actually is like old images of... This must be some of his early work. Yeah, I got to scroll for a while.
Oh, so it's an art book.
So, yeah, it's like art.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, listen, you know, not everyone is interested in Sam Keith artwork. I remember we had this discussion last week about Sam Keith artwork. So, you know, pull up, anyone listening, pull up last week's show, and you'll hear a funny story about the one time I met Sam Keith and he gave me a sketch. So go back and go, you know, visit theclicknation.com and pull up last week's show and listen for a cool story about Sam Keith when I met him at a small New York convention. It's been a long time. It's been more than 10 years.
Hmm.
It's been a long time.
Did it go well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You don't remember the story? I'm not going to retell it.
Yeah, of course I don't remember it. Shows go by in a blur for me.
That's right.
I remember nothing.
Alrighty. Image Comics. Anything?
Invincible Volume 18 came out.
Morning Glory is number 29.
I want to get caught up on that series so much.
It's a lot of reading.
I plan on doing it, though.
You know, read it like a vacation or something. Like if you're sitting on the beach, you know, and there's no, you're not running to get into the water just yet.
Yeah, that's the problem. I have to actually take time off.
Nah.
I do want to bring up It Girl and the Atomics. I think that's number the 12? Final issue.
What was it?
I think I remember hearing that somewhere. I'm going to check it out because the art, at least the covers look nice. Who knows what the inside looks like. But we shall see.
Sounds good. So it's Jamie S. Rich, Natalie Nourigat, and Laura Allred. Okay.
Oh.
All right, that's interesting. It's definitely, you know, like a Mike Allred style art.
Yeah, at least the cover.
Right. Okay, what do we have next?
That's it for Image. So,
now we're moving along. This week was kind of weird in terms of
published. So, right, Marvel. Captain Marvel number 14, the final part of the Enemy Within crossover with Avengers Assemble.
Did you read this?
I did. And I actually went back and read the, because I originally skipped Avengers Assemble, whatever.
Right.
That came before this, but I was like, let me go ahead and knock these out. The art is, at least in Avengers Assemble, the art was nice. The Captain Marvel, they had two artists on it. One was good, one was kind of eh.
Yeah. I was about to say the same thing.
So, Captain Marvel saves the day, but her brain hemorrhages and she's like left out in space looking like she's dead, but she's not going to be dead, but there'll be a new status quo next that we find out about next issue, apparently.
Right. And, you know, they kind of tease what may happen because there's an image of what the next cover is supposed to look like. And I think she might be revisiting her binary powers when she was basically like a member of the Starjammers.
Oh, she was?
Yeah. We're going back a little bit over a ways. So we'll see how they develop Captain Marvel some more. I was not that enthusiastic about this ending. It seemed very just odd. You know, it didn't seem very well thought out.
This villain didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. You know, it didn't really, you know, were the stakes really that high? You know what I mean? Like they developed this with, you know, with her having a brain tumor and it turned out to be him being the brain tumor or something like that. So this is kind of weird. You know, I'm happy to see Captain Marvel getting some renewed focus, you know, trying to promote her as a strong female character. But I don't know if this storyline is enough to do it. You know, I actually want to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, I've been kind of reading it here and there. Well, not here and there, just
we're reading it for review purposes, you know, for academic and review purposes, you know? Just so
yeah,
we can say,
I guess.
We're keeping up with it, right?
Yes, we got to help keep people informed.
That's right. So,
Daredevil 29, I haven't got to that yet.
This was good. This was good. This was good. You definitely read this. You know, for all the attorneys and the lawyers out there, it'd be interesting to read this, you know.
It's very courtroomy.
A little bit. There's definitely some courtroom aspects to it. So you know the lawyers and the attorneys out there will appreciate some of the scenes in this. I know I had some rough flashbacks. I'm like, oh no, why am I reading this? It sounds too familiar. So but yeah, it's definitely worth a read.
Okay. Next up is Fearless Defenders number 7, which I enjoyed. Hope to write a review for it sometime before the weekend's over.
It was okay.
I liked the artist on it.
Yeah, was it someone new?
Yeah, it was someone new. I'm gonna see if I can pull.
It definitely wasn't the artist who was doing this before. Was
Will Sliney had been doing it before.
Yeah, Stephanie Hans. I liked
it. Yes, Hans. There we go. Yeah, so it picks up with where last issue left off, where Annabelle Riggs died, sacrificing herself to save Valkyrie from being possessed by the Doom Maiden. And there's a revelation at the end, and something might be different. That's all I can say, because don't want to spoil everything here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if we want to spoil it, we'll definitely ring the bell with the spoiler alert.
Yeah, so it like I said, you had to know there was gonna be more to it than just, oh, Annabelle's dead, that's it.
Right. Although it was nice, you know, what they do in this issue is kind of cool, is that, you know, they stick her in Valhalla, you know, which is the hall of the honored dead in Asgardian myth. Mm-hmm. And basically it's a fish out of water type story for a little while. So it's actually pretty interesting to see how this is Cullen Bunn, right? How Bunn writes how she's definitely not fitting into the warriors that normally populate Valhalla. She's not fitting in very well.
Yeah. And what's it called? It's not, is it Valhalla?
Yeah, Valhalla. Yeah,
that's what they called it. Okay. I didn't know if they were, because, yeah, they didn't separate male or female afterlife.
Oh, no. Not in Asgardian myth, I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all just Valhalla. Guardians of the Galaxy number 5. Mike, I'm trying to think, is that my favorite issue of it so far? At least it feels like stuff is finally moving somewhere. And I've reviewed it, so go read my review on theclicknation.com. But yeah, we had two guest stars, one a former member of the previous Abnett and Lanning version of Guardians of the Galaxy, and someone else that showed up at the end.
Yeah, the showing up at the end, I think, is getting the story moving.
My only gripe was, how did Peter Quill know where to go find this person? And I think that's it. That's the main one. How did he know where to go find this person?
He went to go look for that chair. Wherever that chair is, that's where he is.
You know, they got each other's phone numbers saved in their cell phones or something.
I guess. That's pretty funny that you look at it that way, though. It's like, yeah, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if he has like a conscious. No, no, he's not. He doesn't even have like a. Captain Marvel type of like cosmic awareness. So I couldn't even tell you. Although he's got this weird like gun now. I think they're trying to introduce that, where it like fires like special, it does special things.
Yeah, he can like adjust it to do stuff or whatever.
Right. I don't think that was part of the previous incarnation of Star-Lord. So maybe that's how we found him.
New toys to sell.
Yep. You know that's going to be the toy in the new movie.
Yep. Same with Blam, I murdered you.
No, it was nice that was not in the spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, that was not in this issue. I was spared from having to read Blam, I murdered you in this issue.
And it's funny because since people start complaining about it online, you haven't seen that in the last, like, I think, 3 issues.
For 2 issues. I think it was last issue, I think they had it.
They shot people, but actually. He didn't say it last issue, because I would have remembered. It was the issue before last.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I complained. If maybe they're listening to the Comic Book Chronicles right now, I complained. Thank you for, you know, complying.
And
good job, Marvel.
Yes.
Oh, Dork Geek has just tweeted us saying that I think he originally, as in Star-Lord, originally had the element gun back in the day. That's going to be worth going back and looking up. That's interesting.
Okay.
I hadn't thought of that. Because, yeah, you know, my introduction to the character was Abnett and Lanning. And he definitely had, you know, guns, but he was definitely more the pew-pew kind of guns. Not the not anything that did anything special. So, all right. Let's see.
Indestructible Hulk number 11.
What did you think of this issue?
It was great. I like that it sort of ties into stuff going on with the whole time stream being broken. And
it's funny how this is like a central issue in this whole timeline being screwed up storyline, right?
Hey.
Like, if you want to know what the deal is, you need to be reading Indestructible Hulk.
He's taking, Mark Waid's taking advantage of it for writing, you know, writing purposes.
Definitely. I'm glad that that Waid is doing it because, you know, this issue was so well written and there's so many, like, little bits in here that you can just, you know, have a lot of fun reading. And like you said, this, you know, this is the center of the time flux, travel, business. They actually talk about all of it. So, you know, if you're interested in trying to get to the meat of the story, get to the center of this time travel stuff, start reading Indestructible Hulk, because this is the first issue where they're dealing with it. It's the Hulk Agent of Time, T-I-M-E.
And I like that Mateo Scalero is getting to draw it, getting some recognition. Former artist on, he was doing Secret Avengers pre-Marvel Now. And I want to say he did, yeah, that's what he was doing before.
Right. Dork Geek has just tweeted us asking, when did Bruce Banner become a time expert? He's not. And he hasn't become one. Instead, without spoiling too much, they recruit Bruce Banner because he is one of the resident scientists of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And they also say that the Hulk can, you know, he can handle the stuff going on.
Time energies.
Yeah, time energies.
And all that stuff. So that's why they've recruited Bruce Banner into this. So it's actually time, T-I-M-E, is a sub branch of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I definitely recommend if you're interested in this, if you're interested in, I think, where Marvel is going with all of this, you should be reading Indestructible Hulk right now. Okay. And it's worth the read, even if you don't care about this whole time travel business.
Next book. Ultimate Comics, The Ultimates, number 28.
Oh, we're not going to... I was about to say, no one read Kick-Ass 3, number 1.
Nah, I didn't.
Me neither. I'd like to.
I need to read the Kick-Ass 1 and 2 first. That's kind of where I'm at with. Kind of where I'm at with that.
That's funny. I read 1. I'll get around to reading 2 at some point. Alrighty. So
I need to see if they're on the Marvel... Oh, yes. Let me pump the Marvel Unlimited app, even though I don't have it yet. So for $9.99, I think, a month, you can read a bunch of Marvel comics. A lot of back issues and some current stuff. But my man, Roddy Cat, has been telling me about it. And I finally downloaded it on the iPad. I downloaded it but never opened the app. And then one night before bed, I was like, you know, because I make a list of all these books and comic event, you know, series events and whatnot I want to go back and read. So I was like, oh, let me see if this story is on the Marvel Unlimited app. I open it up, and it lets you browse. You can browse by series, creators, heroes. You can search for comics, and you pull it up, and there it is. So, like, for $10, it's the Netflix for Marvel, and they're constantly – they update every week with new stuff. So, like, some of the Marvel Now stuff is on there, but, like, the earlier stuff, like – Superior Spider-Man 2, I think, is on there, and like, you know, like the early issues of Marvel Now. So like I said, some of the newer stuff isn't really on there, but older stuff like House of M and Civil War, Fear Itself, World War Hulk. And then you can, like, read all, it has all the tie, it's in order, and it has the tie-ins in order. So it's kind of nice.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So eventually I will sign up for it, but I just wanted to bring it up.
Sounds good.
Ultimate Comics, the Ultimate Summer 28. I finished this before the show. I'm using the cover for the cover art for this blog post for the Comic Book Chronicles episode. This is a great series. I'm loving Ultimates.
You get the idea that they're pulling out all the stops because they're about to end it, right?
Yeah, but they're not even really pulling out all the stops.
You don't think so?
It's because, I mean, something happens last issue, but then they kind of, it looks like it's semi-reversed this issue.
It's not reversed per se, but, you know, it's a development in the Iron Man character. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. But it makes sense, and it's something that fits in with the Ultimate Universe where they can do different things. And they reveal who Kang is.
I guess. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do. That they do.
But yes, I jot down Divided We Fall. I think I need to make sure, see if that's on that Ultimate storyline is on Marvel Unlimited, because Dirt mentioned it a couple weeks ago. It's a good jumping down point.
Sure. Sure, give that a read. I mean, listen, in my opinion, they're trying to blow out, they're pulling all the stops and trying to tell the best stories that they can before at least some of these Ultimate titles go, you know, go the way of the dodo.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely had a lot of fun reading this, even though I really don't care about this, you know, about these versions of the characters. It was definitely just a fun read. So if you're looking for something that's, you know, that's kind of light and fun, you know, there's definitely some darkness in this book too. Don't get me wrong. But if you're looking for something that's kind of action-packed, give this book a read, because it's definitely coming to a head. How many do we know how many more issues there are?
Of Ultimate?
Yes.
I mean, it's not announced to be canceled, so, I mean, there is no end. Maybe an end for this Ultimate Disassembled.
Right.
They haven't said. Or if they have, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I guess they haven't announced a concrete end. They might just roll right into Cataclysm. I don't know what their publishing schedule is going to be like, so we'll see how that works. They'll probably announce something within the next couple of months.
Okay.
Let's see here.
More tweets.
Yeah. So Lil Tony was an Infinity Gem. Yes. Tony yes. Stark just can't win. No, he can't. He can't. And getting back to a tweet, I guess that was referring to Hulk Agent of Time. So there's sword, shield, armor, and now time, why not helmet?
Yeah, there's so many.
Like new shield acronyms. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like that actually the acronym for time stood for something.
Yeah. So it was definitely, there's a million of them out there. I'm sure there's a shield division for just about everything. All righty, what do we got here?
Uncanny Next X-Force.
Is Uncanny X-Force number 9. Are you reading this, Tim?
I am, but I haven't got to it yet.
I read this. Mind you, I dropped this off my personal pull list, and I'm reading this simply for academic and review purposes. I have a lot of problems with this book focusing on Psylocke and Phantom X, or whatever, you know, triplicate clone of Phantom X they've created. It's just a lot of gibberish to me. I really don't care about the Phantom X character that much. And, you know, I don't see how they can focus an entire book on, you know, developing this character. I don't see this book lasting all that long. I don't know if – I wish Doug was here. I wish Dirt was here. Or what was his nickname last week?
Stud Monkey.
Yes. If Stud Monkey were here, I'd like to know what the pull list or what the pull ratio is for this book and how popular it is in the store, because I don't see how this is going to last all that long. It's not real. It's not capturing my attention at all.
So you did not enjoy it?
I don't care about it.
Okay, you just don't care. You know, yeah,
I enjoy it. I enjoyed it to a certain extent, but not enough to say, you know, I'm going to take this home with me. You know,
I'm waiting for this whole Venomous cluster to go away. Be over, so we get back to the rest of the team.
Yeah, but they spent so long on it already. You know, of the 9 issues, they spent like at least 3 or 4 of them just on Phantom X.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, what do we got? Uncanny X-Men number 9.
I read it. Fine issue. I don't know. It's just Uncanny is fine. I just don't really care about Cyclops' team yet.
That's like my attitude towards Uncanny X-Force. I just don't care. You know, this team, this particular group, just doesn't. I don't really care about it. What I don't really care about is this dude with the golden balls. Like, what does he do? What is the point of his power? What is that?
The guy with the balls?
Yeah, what the hell? You know? What the hell is that about? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like the character. Yeah. He's fine. I like the code name for Hijack, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of nice.
Yeah, that was cool. And there's a twist at the end where where Dazzler kind of runs into somebody and more stuff is getting ready to happen in this book. So, you know, that's probably it's probably the only thing that made me want to pick up the next one. I'm kind of curious to see where this goes now. But I honestly don't care. You know, the core, like the new mutants that they've picked up and the core group of Uncanny X-Men that are helping out Cyclops, I really don't care about.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so, oh wait, hold on. There is something here, and I'm glad that Dork Geekus brings this up. There's a dialogue between Dazzler and Cyclops in this issue that I think has caught some attention. Do you know what I'm talking about, Tim?
Yeah, Cyclops calling Dazzler Uncle Tom.
Yeah, I think that I thought that was kind of in poor taste. It's not kind of. I think that's definitely in poor taste.
Someone sent Brian Bendis a Tumblr question about it or a statement saying they didn't like it and they were offended by it. And I didn't really like his response to it. He was just like, I forget exactly what he said, but he was like, it wasn't meant for you to be offended and some other stuff. He kind of like brushed it off.
I don't know.
I was like, really?
I'm going to have to look that up now because I'm not happy. I wasn't happy about that particular exchange.
If you,
I'm glad that Dork Geekus brought it up because I think I would have just glossed over this issue because I didn't, you know, I unfortunately didn't have time this week to write out notes, but I definitely wanted to touch on this. I was not happy with that particular reference, the Sirhan reference too. It was, I thought that was in poor taste. Poor taste.
Yeah. It was from, if you go however many hours back, it was early this morning when he replied to it. So sometime between 8 and like 9:30 a.m., however long that was on the timeline.
Hmm. Gotcha.
I haven't read.
And I was about to say, Dork Geekus mentions about this gold ball guy. I guess it beats him firing blue balls. Oh, so bad. So bad.
I haven't read Venom 38 yet. I had thought about dropping the title, but they got a different...
It actually wasn't bad, actually. I read it this week. It wasn't bad. It's moving forward with the whole I still can't stand the name that they picked for the bad guy in Venom. Was it Mr. Ogre or something like that? like the gangster ogre or something.
Yeah, they introduced some crime boss, right?
Crime boss, right. And it's just ridiculous. But I like the fact that this particular crime boss is pulling an old Kingpin and pulling out all the stops and putting the price on Venom's head and all these kind of minor, like C and D list bad guys are coming to try to collect. And there's definitely some movement with Flash Thompson supporting cast in this. So if you're interested at all in Flash Thompson as a character and where they're taking Venom as the protector of Philadelphia in the future, I think this is probably a good issue to jump on. That's a good jumping on point, I think.
Okay.
And then, you know, even though it's a continuation of that ogre storyline, I think it's a good jumping on point.
And they're going to introduce a sidekick for him called Mania.
I didn't know what the name of the sidekick was supposed to be, but yeah, that's basically where this is going. Hold on. I'm backtracking a little bit.
Okay.
See, Dorky, because has tweeted us about Bendis. Scott wasn't calling you an Uncle Tom. Why are you offended? Oh, boy. Just opening up a Pandora's box of his own. Just doesn't understand. Mm-mm-mm. I'm going to have to look that up. That's not cool.
Yep.
All right, what do we got here?
What if AVS number 404?
I actually bothered to read this, and I can't get that time back in my life. I know it's a what-if story, but when I read it, I was like, oh, are you kidding me? This is the best they could come up with a what-if story. They had four issues to tell a what-if story, and this is what the best they could do. So
what if stories always just turn into let's kill a bunch of random people and make it different?
Yeah, but just the way they ended it was kind of lame. They could have. I thought they could have come up with a better ending, but it's a what if story. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, so that sums it up. I haven't read it yet either, but yeah. I will. And X-Men number 3, the end of the first arc from Brian Wood and Oliver Corpil. It was a deflating ending.
I agree. Dorgikas tweeted us earlier. He jumped to this with regards to the villain in this Archaea.
Yes.
And I was disappointed in how this was resolved. It was kind of weak.
It was – like they didn't even show the resolution. They just like get back to the car. It's like, yeah, whatever, make a – Prime Sentinel chick is fine,
and for some reason, all know isn't really the case, right?
And they keep making references to Rachel and Storm disagreeing or something. I never saw that or got a sense of them disagreeing. Like I think at the last page, like the next month's issue, they mentioned Storm and Rachel disagreeing.
I guess this was I felt like they didn't give this story enough room to grow. This could have been done in 4.
Yeah. I think stretched it out a little longer. Yeah, and
I think it would have done it some service actually. It's weird that we would actually say that, right?
And he it's unfortunately Oliver Corpil's last issue unless he comes back around from the rotating artist thing they do. But David Lopez is going to do the next 2 issues, and then Terry Dodson comes on for the Battle of the Atom crossover.
No kidding. Wow. We got some tweets in. Dorgikas is having a field day with what we're talking about now. Yes. First up, Archaea only roughed up Beast. She didn't do anything else impressive. I think the threat was impressive.
What was?
Archaea's threat.
It was cool that she could take over, like she controlled the hospital full of people with
right
electronic or metal parts, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving this particular power to a bunch of people, like on the Avengers Assemble cartoon. They're giving this technopath type power, you know, like people controlling machines. They're giving it to freaking MODOK. You know, they just boosted MODOK's power set, you know, tenfold, a thousandfold. So it's kind of it's a pretty powerful power, if you ask me. You know, so they put it into this Archaea character, and you know, I think the threat was there, was present, but I just don't think. I sort of agree with Dorkikis' notion that Archaea didn't do anything, but I think the threat was there.
And what's gonna, you know, what happens with Sublime now?
We may have to wait until the next issue. We may have to wait until the next issue. He just sort of, is he along for the ride? It looks like it, right?
Yeah, and I do like that they show, you know, it's billed as the female X-Men book, but they include other people in it too. You know, we had Hellion and Pixie and whoever the other kid was that looked like Reptilian and Blink, was it? Or Bling?
Bling, yeah. Well, yeah, because Kitty Pryde was left at the school, at the Jean Grey School. So they have to involve, you know, the students that are there. So they have like I guess this is the partner book to Wolverine and the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, they have that built-in supporting cast. So this is interesting. I mean, it's kind of funny, and maybe Dorky, because I have something to say about this, or some of the other listeners or viewers. It's interesting that the last thing that we said about this book was that it could have been stretched into 4 issues so that it could have been more well-developed. It's kind of funny. You know, I always find myself complaining that they stretch these things on for too long, and it seemed like this one, they cut it off too short, too soon.
Say that one more time.
Yeah, I know we're getting tweeted. We're getting tweeted at.
Oh yeah, I'm also reading my stuff too, but that's fine. The tweets are great. We like the interaction.
Exactly, it's awesome. The tweets are going on this monitor, and I'm looking at you on this monitor. So, on the Shield helicopter or the Shield there, and she goes and possesses sick people. What about the AI Avengers? She could have done more stuff. Oh yeah, jeez, the technopath. Yeah, no, I agree, but. I don't think she's gone. I think she'll be back. I think they just needed to establish this opening arc to form the team. You know, kind of
get caught up here.
Kind of form this particular all-chick X-Men team, and you know they give a reason for it to come together, and especially Jubilee coming back and rejoining the fold. You know, I think that's what this, more so than creating a credible threat out of Archaea. I think that's what this 3-issue sequence story arc was supposed to do. And even on the last page, it says here that we stick together. That's what Storm says to Rogue. So you know, this particular crew of X-Men is supposed to stick together to, I guess, address whatever comes whatever comes next for this team.
I do like. Dorkika's statement of it was too it was too short, 3 issues just wasn't enough for a threat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like 3 and done.
Yeah, just like we were just saying it's one of the few times we'll say they should have made it longer.
And I think that's it for Marvel. Yes, and actually for everything else, because no Valiant books came out this week. Any indie book you want to mention? I can't hear you, Agent 70.
My bad. I muted myself because I was clicking on so many things. Okay. I don't have... a non-superhero book to recommend this week, and I apologize to the viewers and listeners, but hopefully we'll have something next week for you. Unfortunately, I think for both Tim and myself, we had time to get to the Marvel books and like 1 or 2 DC books this week.
Yeah, it'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah, and I agree with Dorkikis. Archaea probably is still in Shogo League, which is the name of Jubilation's baby.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Shogo League. I was like, that sounds familiar. But of course it does, because that's what she names him.
That's right.
Shogo.
That's funny. I mean, you know what? Come to think of it, that guy, Hijack, is sort of a technopath, too. Jumping back to Uncanny X-Men.
It's the cool new power.
Yeah, controlling technology, because, you know, one of our phobias as humans is that technology is going to be controlling us, right?
Yep.
Going all Skynet and Terminator on us. So give somebody the mutant power to control the machines.
It's all coming full circle.
That's right. All righty.
I think that's going to be the show.
Yeah.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in and participating.
Oh, yeah, we definitely appreciate the participation.
Dork Geekus, and who else tweeted us tonight?
Classic Materia.
Yeah, Classic Material. Follow him on Twitter at Classic Materia. Variant Dash, who supplied some stuff for me tonight. And shout out to Late Bat Benny also. Yeah, I know he's watching, say he's going to be cooking while and have us in the background. So, once again, you see my Twitter handle on the screen if you're watching the video. But if not, I'm at TimDOGG98. And, of course, at TheClickNation is the group Twitter account. Agent 70 is at Agent_70. Dirt is at PCN_dirt. Go to PopCultureNetwork.com. And the Cold Glitter Podcast Twitter is at Cold Slither Pod, ColdSlitherPodcast.com. So for Agent 70, I'm Tim DOGG. You're watching the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing off.
Peace.
Valiant Dark One! What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo! I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No! Yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby.